Well, he is risen. He is risen indeed. Hallelujah. What a good and glorious day this is. And it's a great privilege to be able to proclaim the truth of the resurrection this Easter Sunday. I've been reading through the book of Revelation in my own personal times with God, and it's just struck me afresh from the opening chapters of Revelation how the resurrection changes everything. This really is the greatest day in history. Jesus risen from the dead, the Father's amen to his finished work on the cross. Jesus is alive. And nothing is the same again. Matthew's Gospel, Matthew 28, very much proclaims that truth too. And very briefly, but hopefully in a way that just takes us deeper into these things, we're going to reflect on this chapter and we're going to come and see and then hear the imperative to go and tell. Come and see, first of all. We see that in the invitation of the angel in verse 7. The faithful women are there. The stone is rolled away from the entrance, and they can come and see that the tomb is empty and that Jesus is alive. I want to invite you right now to come and see in your mind's eye, as it were, see the empty tomb, the stone rolled back, the grave clothes by the side, and Jesus gone. The tomb is empty and Jesus is alive. This Easter time, at the end of a year that has been so strange and so challenging for so many of us, we hear and receive the truth of the resurrection. We are not alone. Jesus is alive. Death has been defeated. Come and see the wonderful truth of the resurrection. And then go and tell. That's what the faithful women did. And they set off on a path as they respond to the resurrection that actually leads to the closing verses of Matthew 28 and the call to go into the whole world in disciple-making mission. So exciting. But that's not where they begin. And actually, at the beginning, they are afraid. You notice the words said to them very explicitly, do not be afraid. And that reference to fear reminds us that there is another group there at the resurrection of Jesus. We think about the women as the first witnesses to the resurrection, and indeed they were, certainly the first faithful witnesses. But there are others who are there as well, who in a sense see what the women see. They witness what the women witness. And it's the guards. And they too are afraid. They are shaking with fear. And so the guards and the women, they start off in pretty much the same place. But then they take widely diverging paths. Following the guards through, they go into the city. They speak to the religious elite. You'll notice as the account unfolds, they don't try to deny the truth of what's happened. They don't say, well, the disciples, the women, they're going to say that Jesus is risen from the dead, but actually that's not what happened. It happened like this. They don't say that. They don't deny the truth, the reality of what they have witnessed, but they are consumed by their fear. And so they tell the religious leaders this. They receive a bribe. A conspiracy theory to end all conspiracy theories is cooked up, and a story of deception is put about. Witnesses to the resurrection. As far as the guards are concerned, seeing is not believing, because they see and they accept, but they don't have faith in Jesus as Saviour and Lord. They move further away from the resurrection and further away and further away until they reach a point where they are enmeshed in bribery and scandal and conspiracy as they deny the truth and they collude with others in denying the truth. They deny what they have seen with their own eyes. That's one path that these people are on. But the faithful women are on a very different path. They're there and they're afraid. The guards are afraid. The guards go off in this direction and the women go in a different direction. They hear and receive the words of the angel. They're still afraid, but there is joy that is bubbling up. And as they go in this attitude, in a sense, sort of believing but not quite believing, Jesus meets with them and reveals himself to them. He really is alive, and he commissions them, he sends them on, and they are faithful to their commission. One event, the resurrection, this seismic event, there's an earthquake that accompanies it. It's wonderful, it's earth-shattering in the most literal sense of the word. The guards see and they go off in this direction. The women see and they go off in a very different, much more positive direction. I've been reading recently, started to read the Chronicles of Narnia. I want to reread them again. This is the first book in the series, The Magician's Nephew. It's not one that I know so well. And I was reminded of a story that I'd forgotten, of a character called Uncle Andrew, who is in the book, who is there in the land of Narnia at its very beginning. But because his heart is hard, he resists all that is happening. The children, Diggory and Polly, are there. They see the same things. They hear the beasts beginning to talk. They see all the wonderful things unfolding in the land of Narnia. Uncle Andrew sees and hears exactly the same thing, but to him, the beasts are just roaring. They're making animal sounds. They're dangerous. There's no order here. He sees the same thing, but because his heart is hard, he doesn't see. One event, but two stories, two journeys, two ways of responding, two ways of living. The application, I hope, is clear. First of all, which pathway are we on? Maybe that you are coming into this, that you're engaging with the service, that you're here because it's Easter Sunday, and you just recognize as you hear this story that you're on the pathway that the guards were on. Maybe not too far down the pathway, but that's your direction, that's your trajectory. Maybe that you're really afraid. So many people in this year of pandemic and lockdown have become afraid. It may be that you're struggling to believe, that you want to believe, but again, fear. Perhaps fear in your family, perhaps fear because of your workplace, perhaps fear because of your community. These things are holding you back. We believe in a God of immense grace, which means that his love for us is strong and sure, whatever we've done in the past, whatever we've thought in the past, whatever pathway we're on or we think we're on. God's love is strong and sure. One writer says this, that in the very best way, God is relentless in his love. He is after us. He loves us and he keeps loving us. And he longs to have a relationship with you. He is alive and he wants to put you on the pathway that leads to worship and purpose and wonderful 360-degree salvation. God in his grace and mercy touching your life and transforming your life in every way. That is open to you right now by faith. All you need to do is reach out to Jesus, turn from wrong and turn to him and receive his love. Believe that he died for you. Believe that he rose again for you and receive him as Lord and Saviour. It's such an exciting message. It's so wonderful. I sometimes feel I get a bit jumbled up talking about it and the words don't come out quite right. Maybe it's been a bit like that this morning and you're not quite sure you understand what this strange guy has been saying. But understand this, that Jesus loves you and he wants to have a relationship with you. He is alive and he longs to transform your life. Will you put your trust in him? If you want to find out more about this, then go to our website, contact us, email us. There will be people who will be ready to respond to you. So if you're on the wrong path, if you're on the path that the guards are on, God can come and meet with you. He invites you to come and see and to put your trust in him. And to those of us who have been on the path of the faithful women, yeah, we've been afraid in the past year, but we do trust in Jesus. We do believe that he's alive. We believe that he loves us, that he's present with us by the Holy Spirit, all the wonderful things that the gospel speaks about. In this year of pandemic, in this year of darkness, in this year of furlough, of redundancy, of illness, of bereavement, in this year of long COVID, in this year when there has been so much uncertainty so that our lives have sometimes seemed to be based on shifting sand, God invites us once again to trust in the dependency of the resurrection, to depend on these truths. They are real and they are solid and we can base our lives on them. And so come and see, come and worship, and notice this. This is the point, and this is where I want to finish, that as we put our trust in Jesus, he reveals more and more to us, that as we take a step of faith, so we receive more from God. If we're going in the wrong direction, then it's like we become less human. We become more outrageous. We end up in conspiracy theories and bribery and mess and horrible stuff. And that's not where people began, but step by step, that's where people end up. But conversely, if we take a step of faith with Jesus, he leads us into more beauty, more truth, more love, more opportunity to share in his work in the world. The women were afraid, but then they take a step of faith in response to the angels, and their fear becomes mixed with joy. And then, because they've taken that faithful step, Jesus himself reveals himself to them. And then he commissions them. And because they take that step, they're able to share with the other disciples. And then they are part of the group, I'm convinced, who are commissioned to go into the whole world with the gospel of Christ. When we take a step of faith for Jesus, he leads us on to the next step and the next step. As we humbly put our trust in Jesus, he takes our hand and he leads us forward and he shows us more. He takes us higher. He takes us deeper. He takes us more into his love. He increases our capacity to understand and appreciate the gospel. And as we show faithfulness in small things, so he gives us bigger things to do. 72 Discipleship Network that I'm aware of, that I occasionally blog and record things for, have this wonderful slogan: what step will you take today? What step are you? What step am I going to take today in response to the resurrection? Maybe the step to come and see and worship. Maybe the step to spend more time with Jesus, his risen presence by the power of the Holy Spirit. Maybe the step to go and tell. Notice that they're called to do that. Come and see and then go and tell. Who are we going to tell? What step of witness are we going to take today? And maybe into the whole world. Who knows how Jesus is going to lead us, but make sure that you're taking a step of faith today towards him, whatever that step may be. He is risen. He is risen indeed. Hallelujah. Let's live in the light of this wonderful truth, and let's step out in faith for him today.